Good Friday afternoon, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. It's May 19th. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is still bouncing around the Caribbean on vacation, celebrating his anniversary with his wife. And Bill is here Monday through Friday at noon. You can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, Bill gives a nod to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, and Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website. In our Friday Focus interview today, we're going to be talking with two people from Pima County Economic Development. If you have a question or comment, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We now welcome Heath Vescovi-Chiordi. He is the Pima County Economic Development Director, and Kelly Maslin. She's the county's Assistant Director of Strategic Affairs. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Looking forward to the weekend?
Oh, yes.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Is your company sending you to North Dakota like mine is?
Thankfully, no.
I'm looking forward to it. It's not till next weekend, but it's not January, is
yes.
it?
Like great in July.
Sounds yeah. exciting.
Yeah, it actually is. It's been actually beautiful out there. And I said, I'm not going unless it is. So who knows? Maybe I'll cancel at the last minute. So we spoke in September, and I really enjoyed it because I like this economic development stuff, particularly in a county like Pima County, because there are some challenges here. And I come from the Phoenix area, where things just seem to be a little easier because of the growth and everything. And I wonder sometimes if we're overlooked or dismissed or ignored or whatever. But back in September, we were cautiously talking a little bit about coming out of the pandemic and about how it had kind of done a number on the local economy. But Heath, we're hanging in there.
We are. I think we're doing really well, actually. So there's a lot of opportunity, right, coming from the state. So the Arizona Commerce Authority has been doing a really phenomenal job of effectively generating leads, right, for opportunities for us. So, you know, the idea of being overlooked because of the Phoenix area, I don't think that's 100% accurate. Phoenix area market is totally different than ours, right? And I think we are an emerging market. So we're really seeing some of the benefits now and starting to reap some of those positive benefits from the Arizona Commerce Authority and their work and the rest of our regional partners.
And so we'd be different from Maricopa County in what? Because we're strong in like aerospace, of course, and we have the military base here and things like that. So it's just certain areas that we specialize in, or what?
Yeah, it's where our natural strengths lie, effectively. I mean, the university obviously gives us a significant leg up in a lot of different areas, space technology, all that kind of stuff has been, I think, significantly influential for us. But we look at mining and mining technology. We look at natural resource management. We look at arid climate technology, those things that we're really, really good at. And we're starting to see an uptick in other things like advanced manufacturing, battery manufacturing, energy storage. Those types of things are right in our wheelhouse.
Okay. And but Kelly, that has, again, being I'm from the Phoenix area, that was always kind of the rap when you came down here, was that, oh, we're ignored. Do we worry about that very much?
No, not at all. I mean, as Heath said, Phoenix is a very different market, and people that want to locate in Phoenix aren't necessarily the type of companies that we want in Tucson. So the industries that are looking at us now are really focused on what we have as strengths in the region, but also the type of workforce that we have. And we also have a lot of land available. And I think that's one of the things that people are looking at Tucson for now, because Phoenix is so big that they don't have the masses of land that some of the companies want, like American Battery Factory. You know, you can't find that much land in the Phoenix area anymore, so that makes people more attracted to Tucson, too.
And then, Heath, if we could just go over a little bit about what it is that your department does, and that is because, as Kelly said, we attract businesses, but you have to have the workforce in place to support those businesses, and I think people aren't thinking about that next step there.
Correct. So I will say workforce is at top of mind for everybody, right? Not only us in economic development, but we have a phenomenal community and workforce development department that does amazing things in workforce development. All of our regional partners are extremely focused on it as well. And when you're looking at attracting new companies or even retaining and expanding existing companies within the county or each individual municipality or even unincorporated areas, they're looking at workforce too. So that's the number one priority for them. in the attraction side, it's not only the idea of what the workforce looks like and how you can train them, but it's also the availability of land, as Kelly mentioned as well. So,
okay, Pima Community College has stepped up in several areas, despite cuts from the state to the college system over the years, automotive, welding, aviation, mechanics, mm-hmm. things like that. They're doing it right. Who else is on the right path to help us develop a strong workforce?
So within this region,
right.
effectively everybody, I think from the ground up. So I mentioned CWD, they're part of the Arizona One-Stop system. So what they do is they assist in upskilling, training, job placement, things like that. When you talk about JTED, right, the Joint Technical Education District, that is training for young individuals that are looking for those types of jobs in the future. It's education about what the jobs are and what they entail, and it's the technical training behind those as well, so they make them ready for those positions. You mentioned PCC. What they do is phenomenal with their centers of excellence. We've seen a huge, you know, leap in growth when it comes to those types of things. But it's also their attitude to training. So it's not just a one size fits all for everybody. It's specific training for specific companies that have specific needs when they're coming in here. And then I have to give a shout out to Pima County in general, because they have the PEEPS program, which is a wonderful preschool scholarship program that really helps ready the youngest individuals of us, you know, get those basic educational needs satisfied. And people understand that when you have education from the very base level, you become a lifelong learner and you're more receptive to learning additional things in the future. So it makes you ready for more technical-oriented educational opportunities to get those jobs when you're growing up.
In essence, what you just said is that you're starting to target kids for workforce development when they're three.
Yes.
The pipeline is strong.
Wow.
Three.
Well, you know, we have to think long term in economic development. We can't just be thinking of the workforce now, but we also have to think of the workforce of the future, because that will help us attract other businesses here when they see that we have a strong pipeline for them that will continue for years, that then they want to stay here. And I also want to give out shout out to a lot of the high schools in the region that have strong CTE programs. We've visited a number of high schools in TUSD and Sunnyside and looked at the programs they have for their students, and they're really skilling them up to go into the jobs that are out there.
And you made a good argument, Kelly, earlier as we were talking about going to career fairs and sharing with mm-hmm. kids and everything. And I was recently at Wrightson Ridge talking to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And I know, for example, our fire district in Green Valley starts talking to kids seriously about careers in middle school. And why is this?
Well, as they're planning to their future, you know, you really need to hit them at those levels so that they kind of have an idea of what they want to do. And especially, you know, one of the programs that we work on in partnership with the city of Tucson is a SheTech program. So as girls or young students are thinking about what careers I want, they need to make sure that they have the credentials in place for in junior high, so that when they get to high school, they can take those programs that'll get them the careers that they want. And when I was in high school, we had a career fair when I was a junior in high school. And for so many people, if that's too late to decide what career you want. They need to be career ready at those young ages so that they can take those programs and classes in high school and beyond.
And a kid who is going into high school with an idea of what he or she wants to do is going to be a more focused student, and it could actually have good effects all around.
Oh, definitely. That's for sure.
So back to something you said, Heath, earlier as we were talking about Phoenix and Tucson. Mm-hmm. Tucson is more affordable. Is that really a factor, though? Is it so much more affordable than the Phoenix area that it's a factor in drawing businesses?
It certainly is. So the cost of living for workers, right, makes a significant difference, the bottom line for their pay, right? 1,000%, the way that they can use their money intelligently to, you know, have the things that they need to have to live a good life. That is a significant identifier for us as a strength. The other thing, and Kelly alluded to it earlier, was the idea of land, right? The Phoenix area has done such a great job in economic development that the cost of land up there, especially in private hands, is astronomical to a certain extent. Not unattainable in a lot of ways, but it is very high compared to what we have down here in Tucson. So the affordability of land also makes us super competitive when we have these large potential employers looking at 100 acres, 200 acres, 500 acres, whatever that ends up looking like. So it does make a difference.
And we're talking about PCC and the good work that they do through these programs that don't take 4 years, but yet there still is this strange pressure to send kids to college for these four-year degrees that, you know, a lot of them go in and they're hoping they figure out what they want to do by their sophomore year, and they end up with a degree maybe and debt for sure, but not necessarily a clear career path. And so is it okay to say that the four-year schools, while they do incredible work and they're certainly necessary for a lot of careers,
we could do a whole show just on that.
I bet it's not that they're not worth it, but they're not worth it for some students.
I think that's always been the case, though, right? It was just moving in one system, right, for so long with so little else being offered. And I think there's also kind of the interesting juxtaposition of the way that certain trades have been portrayed year over year, right, for quite some time. There's nothing wrong with being an electrician or a plumber or anything like that. Those trades are amazing trades. Those are amazing jobs, and they're lucrative jobs. And so it's kind of turning the narrative over on its head a little bit to make sure that everybody, young individuals, older individuals reentering the workforce, understand that those opportunities are not something to frown upon at this particular moment in time. Every job really is a good job. And PCC has done a really good job of actually perpetuating that narrative, which has been very successful.
And we're going to talk about the economic development strategic plan that was recently okayed by the county board. But in that is that term recession resistant. A plumber, an electrician is a recession resistant position, right?
They are to a certain extent. When we look at it, we kind of talk about industries at a high level. So recession proof, if you will, quote unquote. And so that typically is focused around manufacturing and advanced manufacturing, because the type of manufacturing that we're looking to attract in this region is the manufacturing of things that are going to be needed one way or the other through a recession or not. So, of course, there are nuances based off of what happens with supply chains during recessions and that kind of stuff, the movement of capital in general. But for all intents and purposes, there are industry focus areas that are a little bit, quote unquote, safer than other ones.
Give us an overview of that economic development strategic plan that was approved by the county board last month.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. So we approved it, the board approved it on April 18th, and we're super thankful for that. The project itself was really fun. It took just about a year or so, and it was a truly collaborative effort, just legitimately across the entire region. We had 100 different stakeholders, all these different meetings set aside, and, you know, stakeholders in their specific key areas that really help guide and focus what the recommendations are. We had academia, education, we had the regional economic development organizations, we had the municipalities, we had everybody come together and also talk individually with one of our consultants that really synthesized a lot of information, put it together, and then we formulated these recommendations, these pillars, these industry focus areas based off of that feedback that we got from everybody. So in the end, what the plan is a condensed version of existing plans that have predated this one. And it really truly is a representative document of the needs, the wants of the region. And I think it's also complementary in a lot of ways to what the outcomes are that these organizations want, and also to what their existing strategic plans look like too. So we think we hit it on all cylinders.
And we'll talk about the recommendations in a little bit, but this plan is for 2023 through 26. Is that about how often you update these things?
Yeah, you can have a 3 or a 5 year plan. Just kind of depends on what your organization prefers. So for an economic development strategic plan, 3 to 4 years is pretty much the average, and we can go through and update it whenever we need to.
And what is it that's changing that requires the update?
So there are a couple of things. I mean, whenever you do an update to an economic development strategic plan, sometimes you're doing it to make sure that you're still eligible for grants at various levels through like the Economic Development Administration and things like that. But things change relatively rapidly in the economy. And so to have a plan that I think is nimble, right, and can be a living document, if you will, that's advantageous to us because it allows us to pivot and to do the things that we have to do to make sure that we're not just locked into attracting specific industries until the end of time, right? We can open that up, have a discussion about it, and say, hey, it looks like there's an advent of this specific industry that can take advantage of some assets that we have. Can we start targeting them instead of just, you know, sticking with what we've got?
Okay, we are in the midst of our Friday Focus interview with Pima County Economic Development Director Heath Vescovi-Chiordi and Assistant Director of Strategic Affairs Kelly Maslin. And just before our break, that's Bill's favorite time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. That place is the place pretty much everybody knows about. And I can tell that Heath and Kelly know about it. They're smiling and giving the thumbs up. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery is open for breakfast, lunch, and indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are welcome. Mona's, it's a great place, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who's still on vacation and enjoying himself. Go check out his Facebook page. He's putting a lot of photos on there, and they are having a great time, and that's wonderful. So I am with a couple of our experts from Pima County Economic Development. We've been talking about all things economic development, and I've already learned quite a bit. But let's reach back here about 3 years. Heath, businesses received a lot of help during the pandemic, but now that money is going away. How are local businesses faring in light of that?
So I think the idea behind that money to assist with businesses bridging the gap because of COVID was a wonderful lifeline and in a lot of instances a necessary one. I think the businesses within the community have actually been really good stewards of that money, and they understand that there is a finite amount of it. So in the proper utilization of that money as it's distributed to them, right, factoring in the fact that there is an end date for when that money either has to be spent or, you know, when they're going to receive that money, I think that they're doing well, to be perfectly honest. So they've taken that money, they've invested it, I think, in the right ways to make sure that the core services of their businesses can keep going. In some instances, right, that just means that operationally they're at, an even pace, let's say. Some places use that opportunity to even hire additional people in areas where they didn't originally focus to increase the amount of business that they had, and even kind of expand their purview of what their businesses do. So I would say overarchingly, we're probably in a really, really good spot with that money having been disseminated and utilized in the appropriate ways.
But there are businesses that simply didn't prepare for, I guess, the end of the pandemic. And why would they think that this money was just going to keep flowing in and not make decisions that understood that this is, you know, just for a specified time? Are you hearing from people like that? And
so I have not personally, yeah, or even professionally heard that specifically. My understanding is there are certain opportunities that individual businesses can take advantage of. And I think there's also the idea that, you have to be understanding of how that money is going to be used. So what their business decisions are, right, those things don't necessarily have to get run by us. And so if those things are happening, it is unfortunate. But, you know, we've all been pretty clear from the federal level down to the county level and even the local jurisdictions that there is an end to that tap and that faucet.
Okay, very good. We are going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there. What's your question for our team here from Pima County Economic Development?
Well, two things. One, I did look at the plan about a month ago, but when you submitted it originally to the supervisors for their review, or about 3 weeks ago, I forget how long ago it was, and I noticed you used the pillar approach to identify key strategic aspects for economic development. Just out of curiosity, what did you think was different from the existing plan versus the situation we're going through now, post-COVID? Did you have some identifiable differences? Second thing is, on a strategic question, did you consider anything strategically like the ongoing situation with the jail and fixing it? That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. That's a great question. So I'll answer the second one first. Up front, we were not considering the jail as part of our economic development strategy. It's semi-unrelated, if you will. While we kind of take into consideration all county operations while we're doing things, there are things that are more relevant to us than others. So that really was not a significant consideration for us. And then your other question was, yes, there is a significant difference between the previous plan and the plan that we have now. Number one, it's much more consolidated. So in this new plan, we've got 30 recommendations as opposed to the old plan, which was 150 plus recommendations, which is unwieldy, to say the least. And I think the other thing is that we took a different approach with developing this plan. So rather than having it done just completely internally, like past iterations have been done, like I mentioned earlier on the show, it was a collaborative and really, really inclusive program for us, the way that we ended up doing this plan. And then I will say to your comment about the pillars, we took an interesting tack there, because what we did was we included those pillars as kind of a qualitative way to talk about what some of our focus areas and priorities are. And then what we also did was we took the old school way, if you will, with the quantitative side, and we included the attraction, the business retention expansion, the infrastructure development, and the workforce development components. So what we did was we kind of married the old with the new to create a more modern plan, which is what you see before you today.
Okay, Kelly Maslin, we found out in April that Davis-Monthan Air Force Base will be losing the A-10 Warthogs as the Air Force phases them out over the next 6 years or so, but it will be the site of a new special ops wing with a new aircraft. We know the base is important to the local economy. This news certainly had to have brought a sigh of relief.
Yeah, actually, in my other life, one of the things I do is serve on the Southern Arizona Defense Alliance, which lobbies on behalf of all of the military bases in Southern Arizona. So I was able to be at the meeting where the gentleman from Langley came in to talk about the new mission and how it's going to impact the region. And the great thing was is how excited the Air Force is about Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and how they are really focused on making sure that it has the best operations that it can have. They're probably going to be eliminating 38 of the A-10s over the next year, but they're already putting in place the assessment for the Special Ops Command program. And with that new command also comes a lot of construction. So while we may temporarily lose some of the airmen because the A-10s are leaving, the construction is going to ramp up on the Air Force Base because they'll be getting rid of some of the hangars and stuff that are specific to A-10. And there's C-130s and M-130s that are going to be coming in because of the new mission. And with that comes a lot of construction. And at the end, once the new mission is in place, they'll actually probably have more airmen here than we had with the A-10s. And it'll be a very interesting process. But what was great to hear is when Hurricane Michael hit Florida, the Air Force realized how vulnerable their Special Commands Force was in having it all in one location. So they're super excited about bringing that to DM and also expanding the ranges in the region, which will help Arizona even more overall with all of the military that we have here. And they're probably also going to be bringing in more people for the rescue operations that they have here.
So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but very strong possibility that we are secure for perhaps decades to come.
Yes.
And there would be more airmen in
yes.
the area.
Yeah, and they're planning out at least 30 years for DM, which is great for the region. So we know that we are set for at least that timeline. And they're so excited about everything in Arizona military related that that's just going to benefit us even more down the road.
Very good. Heath Vescovi-Chiordi, what does the term affordable housing mean to you, and why is it a key part of an economic development strategy?
Yeah, great question. So people coming here to work need a place to live, and those places have to be affordable. So I think the textbook definition of affordable housing is housing that costs less than 30% of what your gross income is in a household. And so for us, we use that as a baseline, right? Because that's just the smart thing to do when you have those thresholds that are established for you. But the idea of perpetuating affordable housing within Pima County, this community at large, is very important because we need to have individuals that can come here, live here, and want to stay here and grow their families and work here, right? They want to be we want them to become a part of this community. And home ownership is a really significant component of feeling like you belong and that you are part of a community. So that's kind of what the crux is, right? Is just the idea that people need that housing. The tack that I take in economic development specifically when it's related to affordable housing, I think, is twofold. We help advise, right, with community and workforce development and various initiatives within the county so that they have the economic development component, that tinge to it, if you will. And then our job is to attract jobs that allow people to afford houses as well. So when we talk about like an American Battery factory or something like that, and they're coming in with salaries of $65,000 a year, that's a wonderful opportunity, and that does help in turn make housing more affordable.
Maybe I've listened to too many Pima County Board of Supervisors meetings, but
no such thing.
Yeah, there is. This week's I think was 5 hours. Okay, so affordable housing though is often spoken of in the context of low income.
Sure.
And you're not talking about it in those terms. Not that they are not important and that we shouldn't deal with that, but you're talking about your average Joe who comes in and needs a place to live.
I think it's twofold. Right? I mean, for average individual people, if you know what they're looking for is a home, we need to make sure that they have a job that allows them to get that, right, within whatever the current cost structure might look like. If there are other individuals who are not afforded that opportunity, you know, I am of the opinion that we should be helping figure out a way for those individuals to have shelter, 1,000%. To own something, you know, I'm a recent homeowner myself, and the feeling of purchasing a home was one of the best feelings of accomplishment I've ever felt. And it made me feel safe and secure. And I don't have kids or anything like that, but in the event that I ever do, knowing that I have the ability to house them and to shelter them without issue is a significant component of my happiness as well. Right. So those things I take into consideration very seriously.
And we want people to put down roots.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want them moving here and moving out in a year. This economic development report that we have been talking about, the strategy plan, it says in there that Pima County's workforce is concentrated in restaurants, elementary and secondary education, and hospitals. What exactly does that mean? Does it mean we just have the most people there? And is that really where we want to be?
So it's not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. We have a lot of tourism assets here. We are a city of gastronomy in the city of Tucson, so it makes sense that we have a lot of employment in restaurant sector and tourism-related sectors. The education, I think, the educational sectors, I think, speaks for itself to a certain extent. And the idea of healthcare is actually a wonderful thing for us. We have a significant healthcare innovation system within this community and throughout the region. And so those are very high quality jobs, whether it's nursing or health innovation, technology, health related things. So it's great. But to diversify that makes a lot of sense for us, right? To make sure that, again, we go back to the idea of what is, you know, recession proof. To make the economy more resilient, you have to diversify where people have their jobs.
Great. Go ahead,
I was
Kelly.
Just going to add something. Sure. That, you know, a lot of the business, a lot of the growth in businesses happens in small businesses. And so if there's, you know, 80 small businesses, if they each add one employee, you know, that's 80 new jobs in the community. And one of the things that I'm excited about with our new strategic plan is there is a focus on small business expansion and retention. And that's never been in there before. And I lead the Small Business Commission, so I have a soft spot in my heart for growing small businesses and making sure that they're successful.
And we are actually going to talk about the Pima County Small Business Commission when we are back. We're going to take a break here now on the Buckmaster Show, and we will be back with more questions for the Pima County Economic Development Team.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and we are talking to Pima County Economic Development Director Heath Vescovi-Chiordi and Kelly Maslin. She is the county's Assistant Director of Strategic Affairs. And Kelly, another hat you wear, you do coordinate the Pima County Small Business Commission. Tell us what they do.
Well, they are focused on, actually, we just had a meeting yesterday and we changed our bylaws to be more encompassing of all small business things. So it used to be that their two goals were to advise the Board of Supervisors and to be a communication conduit with small business in the community. But over the years, it's expanded its role in Pima County. And not only does it advise to the Board of Supervisors, but they also do an annual small business award to local businesses. And we also are being proactive on a lot of things. We are focused on reaching out to different departments to make sure that they're not making rules that are counterintuitive to small business success. And I have to give a shout out to our chair, Janae Arenas with Picturox Cooling, Heating and Plumbing, because she's really wanting us to have a strong focus on making sure that we have an ecosystem where small businesses can succeed. So as a small business owner, she's been giving me a lot of great ideas on what the county can do to be seen as small business friendly. It doesn't have that reputation a lot of times. And so, you know, through the Small Business Commission, we want to change people's attitudes about what Pima County is to small businesses.
In those Small Business Commission meetings, does it come up the crime rate in Tucson and how it's affecting small businesses?
Pretty much every meeting.
Okay. And so first of all, let's be honest here. Are we getting accurate information? I know everyone likes to anecdotally say this is happening, that's happening, but is it as big a problem as some people are making it out to be?
Yeah, it is. Okay. I listen to small businesses all the time, especially through the Small Business Commission, and they've been impacted by, you know, lawlessness or criminals or vandalism. And so we've been talking about it at the Small Business Commission, and we had a meeting in August of last year, and Administrator Lesher was there, and she heard this. And that really was a turning point, I think, for how the county addresses the situation. And now they have weekly meetings and talking about how the county can be more proactive in solving these issues. We've been working with the Tucson Chamber. They recently started a program to help businesses with security upgrades through a grant they got through the Ward 4 office of the City of Tucson. And we're looking to see if that's something that the county can participate in as well to help businesses that have been affected, but we want to make sure that we're doing what we can to help small businesses, and it's so great to have the county administration behind us 100% on making sure that small businesses in the region can be successful.
What are small businesses in relation to crime? Mm-hmm. What are they asking for specifically? What do they want to happen right now?
There's a lot of things, and I can't go through the whole list. But basically, you know, if there is a situation at a business, they want to be able to have a police person respond.
Okay.
They want to make sure that there aren't situations where that camps are set up near their businesses, or that people can wander into, camp out on a porch of a business. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone yesterday that they don't have any furniture in their outdoor patio area because the people will stay there at night and hang out there, and it's detrimental to their businesses. So the county's being really proactive in making sure that one of the things is when someone's arrested, that either they, you know, are offered a diversion program if they're on drugs, or that they, if it's a serious enough crime, that they stay in jail. So there's a lot of different fingers in the pie related to that. It's not an easy thing to solve, but everybody's at the table talking about it, and that's what's going to make it better for businesses.
Okay, very good. We're going to go back to the live line, and we have Chuck. Chuck, do you have a question for our economic development team?
Yes, I do. earlier in the program, very early, you were discussing about what the county is really good at. And one of the comments your guest made was really good at mining. I have to disagree with that. You take, for example, Rosemont Mine. The county has been fighting Rosemont Mine for years and years and years. And I just don't know, understand how your guest can say something like that. That's my question.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Heath, we're going to throw that to you.
Yeah, so just really quickly, it's not necessarily the actual mining itself, sir. What I was referring to was mining technology. So we have the presence of Caterpillar here, Hexagon, Modular, and those companies are head and shoulders above when it comes to development of mining technology and even what is being coined sustainable mining technology development. So for us, it's about the capitalization on the technology development that these companies are going through and expending dollars on research and development, not necessarily the act of mining itself.
Okay, very good. And the companies are going to go where there's stuff in the ground that they want. And so, and mostly that's a federal process. But yes, I can see that it has, the Pima County has been punishing, really, in their opposition to some of the mining efforts going around here. And so I can understand where Chuck was coming from on
perfectly,
that.
Perfectly, yeah.
So, Heath, give me three concrete things, and they can be recommendations even from this economic development strategy that was recently approved, but three concrete things you want to see happen in Pima County in relation to economic development over the next year.
Yeah, absolutely. So within that plan, there are 30 recommendations, so there are 30 things for you right there.
Sure.
But for me specifically, one of the things I want to see is the continued collaboration that we have with our regional partners and our statewide partners to help continue facilitate potential attraction of new companies down here. It's very important. There's a lot of stuff happening right now at that level with attraction, and so it's ripe for opportunity, and I think we're really poised in a good position to take advantage of that. I think I want to see some additional concerted economic development-oriented infrastructure development. So by strategically developing infrastructure that these companies need, that these businesses want, both existing and for a future attraction, we make ourselves much more competitive. So I'm excited about what that looks like. And then Kelly was talking about it earlier, but a system or something when it comes to small business support, assistance, whatever that ends up looking like, but having an actual program in place to be able to assist small existing businesses within our community, whether it's incorporated or unincorporated jurisdictions, complementary to programs that already exist from, you know, City of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, Saurita, and then a continued focus on business retention and expansion. So not just keeping them here, but making sure they have the opportunity to grow here as well.
Has Pima County grown out of certain specialties or certain areas that drove economic development in the past, but they're just non-existent today?
Not necessarily. I think things have transitioned to a certain extent. So we still have some of the old school, you know, thought of manufacturing and things like that. But manufacturing is much more advanced and complex than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? So when we look at manufacturing as a focus industry area for us, we're talking about really technologically advanced jobs for manufacturing. So we haven't grown out of any of these things. We actually continue to grow into them, I feel like.
Kelly, I'm going to read a little bit from the strategy that was published, and I want to know what you mean by this. Fostering work-life balance. It says, improving quality of life is essential to attracting younger workers and families. And we know we've been having a national discussion on, you know, work-life balance. As indicated in the community survey, the most stated reasons why residents chose to come to Pima County were the community, people, and culture, their family, and quality of life. How important is that, and what kind of extra focus have you been putting on that?
Well, I think, you know, work-life balance is not just where you go to work for 40 hours a week and, you know, then you spend time with your family or friends, because there are a number of people that maybe work more than one job, and so they don't have that work-life balance. But the millennials in particular, you know, they are looking for a community where they can feel at home, and that's part of the work-life balance. They want to be able to ride their bike to work. They want to be able to, you know, enjoy fabulous restaurants. And one of the things, you know, we're doing in as part of our strategic plan is working with Visit Tucson and Pima County Tourism and Attractions and positioning Tucson as a region where it's it's got a great lifestyle, and that people want to come here. And I think that Visit Tucson and the Pima County attractions, they have a great campaign, and they're always pushing out fabulous messages about how great Tucson is. And it really does put Tucson in the spotlight and attracts people here, which is part of that work-life balance, that quality of life that people are looking for when they are deciding where they want to live, where they want to work, the kind of companies they want to work for.
Heath, work-life balance, who's doing it right in Pima County?
A lot of different places, I will say. One of the ones that comes to mind is Howard with AGM. This man has instituted a wonderful series of opportunities for his employees, and effectively it's professional development oriented, educational attainment oriented. But from what I understand, the quality of employment there is significant. He's got one of the highest retention rates of employees of any organization within the county at large. So he's a shining example of that to me. And I really think that Pima County as an employer is actually making significant strides to doing that as well, being competitive with pay, flexibility in telecommute, vacation days, things like that. They've done a really, really good job recently of advancing that and moving that needle for people.
Okay. We have been talking to Pima County Economic Development Director Heath Vescovi-Chiordi and Kelly Maslin. She's the county's Assistant Director of Strategic Affairs. Thank you both for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, always interesting. And glad we gave you the full 50 minutes. I have a whole nother sheet of questions, but we'll have to get to those at another
time. Happy to come back anytime.
Very good. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio with Matt Russell to help you plan your weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for Weekend Watch. It's a great way to plan your next couple of days, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, among other things. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. And if you were over there right now, you would be having an absolutely gorgeous day at 75 degrees over in Silver City. But we have something hot for you, not just the day. It's Matt Russell.
Oh my gosh.
I should keep my day job, shouldn't I?
Well, that's a lot to live up to here on a Friday, but I'm all in. I got you.
Yeah, I should stick to print. But anyway, you've got some great stuff going on for this this pre-Memorial Day weekend.
I absolutely do. And it really will be a beautiful weekend, I think, to head out to Wilcox for the annual Wilcox Wine Country Festival all weekend long. So it starts tonight at 6 with a Chamber of Commerce wine dinner out at the community center out there. And that's followed by 2 full days of all kinds of fun, wine tastings. There's going to be vendors, fine artisans, live entertainment. They're going to have food trucks. But nearly 20 Arizona wineries are going to be on hand as well, pouring their very best, including some of my personal favorites. Now, after you've secured your designated driver, go to eventbrite.com and then look for Wilcox Wine Country Festival. It is going to be a blast.
And if you have not been to Wilcox, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Just a cute community, just wonderful, and just up the road.
Indeed.
What else we got?
Well, you know, speaking of food trucks, there's going to be a culinary convoy of sorts on Sunday night from 5 to 9. And the destination is going to be the grounds of Hem and Her Bridal on Stone Avenue right near Tucson Mall. It's Mark's Food Truck Fiesta, sponsored by Tucson Foodie and their own food truck writer, Mark Whitaker. They're going to be featuring nearly 10 of Mark's favorite mobile eateries. They're going to be dishing up all kinds of tacos and pizza, Vietnamese banh mi sandwiches, all meeting sort of the Tucson Foodie seal of approval. So there's no admission fee, no ticket is needed. Just bring enough money to eat your way through each of these bumper-to-bumper beauties, and there'll be plenty of parking and restrooms on site. Dan, they've thought of everything for Sunday's food truck fiesta.
Restrooms, that is thinking of everything. Bumper to bumper beauties. I gotta chew on that one a little bit. So, okay, I know you got one more thing for us.
I do. One of my favorite events of the year, actually. It's happening tomorrow night at Reed Park Zoo, where a wild time will be on tap. Here comes the segue, Dan. It's Brew at the Zoo. That's right. You're going to taste a wide selection of craft beers and ciders and lagers and ales from Arizona's best breweries as you walk around the zoo and just sample and stroll. Live music, games, a selfie station, and the commemorative tasting glass, Dan, is yours to take home. Now, this event, of course, is only for those who are 21 years of age and older. I guess that puts us in the older category. So go to reedparkzoo.org for information and tickets.
So the term drunken animals is going to take on new meaning. Or should we not have said that? I think we're live. I'm sorry.
It's a family show, Dan. It's a family show, right. Bill might never come back, but I questioned that he would come back anyway from the Caribbean, right?
I don't know why he would. It's gorgeous, and his photos are great and everything. So, Matt Russell, thank you. It's always great to talk to you, and love the tips. They're always spot on.
Cheers, my friend. Thanks.
Very good. And thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. We had a really good discussion today with the Pima County Economic Development people. And you can get that report online. It's Economic Development Strategy 2023 through 26. Came out just last month. They got a lot of very interesting stuff that we unfortunately didn't have time to cover. So the Buckmaster radio program is presented, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks. Been working with Tom on the other side of the glass today. And the entire team here at BustosMedia.com. You have yourself a great weekend. And remember, you get an extra day off next week.